Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Fucking cats pressed a button. That's why you couldn't hear me. So, Nima Vidati, are you excited and ready to go?
Yeah, sure.
I guess.
It's episode 300. Are you excited and ready to go?
Yay. Yeah, I'm totally excited.
Okay, what people just tuning in don't know is that Neem and I just spent an hour working on a computer problem that I have spent 3 hours on earlier today while he was at work trying to solve a computer problem with Bitcoin. And it looks like you've lost like $200 worth of Bitcoin from wallet failure, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I tried to send some bitcoins to our good friend Ben, and in the initial transaction, it debited the amount I wanted to send to Ben plus the remaining balance of my whole wallet. But it said it was sending the remaining balance of my whole wallet to another address that I also have. But then the whole transaction was pending / unconfirmed for 3 days, and so it was not letting me have that balance back. So I tried to reset the blockchain in Multibit, that's the wallet we're talking about, and it reset it and got rid of the pending unconfirmed transaction, but it also got rid of all of the funds, which included my whole wallet balance from when I made the transaction.
Yeah. We actually recorded about 40 minutes of us troubleshooting this, and I'm probably never going to release it. Unless that last thing I suggested you try later that's going to take a bunch of time actually fixes it. Because it's really, like, who wants to listen to us try to do computer problem solving and fail? But here's the thing. It's like
I'm a very busy man, and now apparently I have hours more work to do to get my Bitcoin back.
Yeah, your wife is not 9 months and 3 days pregnant, and you just worked a long day. And I'm like, hey, I'm excited. It's episode 300. Let's do a cast. And you're like, my throat hurts.
right.
I made a joke about it.
Let's talk about other things.
Well, no, I wanted this segues into what I wanted to talk about all day.
No. All right.
Wait, you're like, no, don't do
Which
it.
Which is?
No, don't do the brilliant segue you're about to do, Michael. Let's just read Twitter feeds and say everything sucks.
No, I said which is.
Oh,
which
but before is that, means, but tell before me that, the... you sounded like, you made a disgruntled noise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me do my thing. I'll do my thing. My thing is, let's reboot. Let's stop. So, ready to go, Nima? All right. So, I made a joke during our troubleshooting segment about how your attitude with Bitcoin is kind of like reminds me of how you were with guns, with one small difference. Like, before I met you, you were like, yes, man, the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental human right. No one should get in the way of it. But, like, you didn't have any guns or own any guns. And I turned you on to guns, and then you love guns, and you got good with them. And before you had a Bitcoin wallet, you were like, Bitcoin's great. It's going to revolutionize the world. And then you got a Bitcoin wallet, and I sent you a third of the Fiends donations. And now you're like, I fucking hate Bitcoin. It sucks. It's kind of like if you'd shot yourself in the foot the first time I took you shooting.
Yeah. Oh, I found my old wallet file. That's good. It was under a different folder name.
Well, if you want to try putting that in, like, I'll just rant, and you can just go, and keep trying to fix your wallet.
And then when I have success, you can be like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're like, you're with your wallet. You're like a speed freak trying to have sex. You're like, come on, baby, I can get it up. Just one more. Yeah. Come on. No, really. You can't walk away from it. So go ahead. Do it. I'll just talk.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. So Bitcoin, man, it's going to change the world if Nima can get it to work. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at like how nobody is ever going to take the Fiend seriously about cryptocurrency after I lost a password for what would now be $3,000 worth of Bitcoin, and you had $200 worth that your wallet ate. My wallet ate my Bitcoin, teacher.
Well, there's a disconnect between theory and practice.
Yeah,
we agree with it in theory.
Yeah.
It's this whole practice stuff that's screwing me over. Yeah.
Well, I've been succeeding with Bitcoin and doing well with it and branching off into other cryptocurrencies and writing essays on them and contacting the people who are building the roads to try to help build better roads. And it's kind of like my whole theory on it is like Bitcoin is the basis of the information superhighway 3.0. You know, that's the kind of way to look at it. Like there was the web. And then there was Web 2.0, which then they started calling the old Web 1.0. The old web was like 94 to 2001. It was basically like the you had to know HTML, you had to configure servers, you had to hammer out the pixels by hand. And then Web 2.0 was like with beginning with like MySpace and things like that, and you know social networking and Facebook and then all the other stuff like YouTube and video and BitTorrent but I think Bitcoin is kind of taking it to Web 3.0. Like they've been predicting Web 3.0 for a while, but I heard a quote that I really liked that I actually put in my essay. It was one of our fans, Daniel Peter Barron, said on Twitter, and I'm putting this in an article I'm writing. He said, Bitcoin is a technology layer on which a new breed of applications will be developed. Don't compare it to gold. Compare it to the internet. That's like the best telling of that. We've said that before, kind of, but like not that concisely.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Hey, I got my old backup wallet working, and now I guess I should reset my blockchain. Maybe we'll have some redemption in the third act.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Bitcoin has kind of gone mainstream the past couple weeks. Like The Simpsons, like Krusty the Clown was like, yeah, I had a bad week at the dog track and then bet on Bitcoin and sold it on the wrong day. And Snoop Dogg tweeted that his new record is going to be sold for Bitcoin and delivered by drone.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think after this experience, I'm more likely to believe your earlier statements about how Bitcoin won't reach its fullness or cryptocurrencies won't until everybody and their dog and their cat has their own coin. Not that all of those will be used in any kind of widespread fashion, just that this needs so much more work done on it for it to be widely adopted. I mean, I'm all on board and believe in Bitcoin, and I run into an issue like this from the get-go that's hard and arcane to figure out how to fix it. And there's nobody I can call, and I get that there shouldn't be a central
authority. What did your wife say?
I told my wife. She was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I tried to send that Bitcoin to Ben for Christmas, remember? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, it actually took out all of my money. And she was like, oh, can you call customer support? And I was like, I don't think there
that's
is
that.
That's
the point. You can't call customers. Yeah.
That's the point. I mean, I guess you can... yeah.
Did it work?
I fixed it.
You fixed it? You just put in your old wallet?
Just put in my old wallet.
Okay.
That's it.
I would back up your private keys now again. And I'm going to turn down while you're typing your password because somebody actually could get your password.
Could listen
from
to
how
that.
You type.
Should I mute myself?
Yeah. Okay. Mute yourself when you type it. So,
all right. Tools. what do I do? Export private keys?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you have to put your password in three times if you want it password protected with the same password.
Okay.
Yeah, and then save that to something else. You know, speaking of like old-timey, I've been watching this show Damages and I fucking love it. I fucking love it, man. It's the Glenn Close thing where she's a lawyer and it's like it's great TV drama without a lot of statism. Like she's literally like I mean there's courts and cops in it, but it's like I mean there's barely cops in it. It's basically a high-powered civil attorney, you know, like suing bad people who rip people off to get their money back kind of thing. But it's got murder and intrigue and sex and violence and people lying and like great acting, great writing, great cinematography. It's kind of weird in how it jumps around with time. Like the whole thing is kind of like Memento. And I think it's cool that it's like that, but it's a little more like that than it should be. Like I can't even tell what's present and what's past sometimes, but that's because I'm usually multitasking, learning about Bitcoin and Namecoin while I'm watching stuff.
Namecoin. Do we want to get into Namecoin now?
Absolutely. But I want to say this really funny thing. The theme song for the show is so kick-ass. It's unbelievably kick-ass with like the best bass line ever. And it kind of sounds like old post-punk, like The Fall, if anyone knows who The Fall is. And it's a band called the VLA. It's an unknown band from LA. And if you search them, like, you find out, like, they played Spaceland a lot, which was this place down the street from me. I used to go all the time. And it's like, there's something about the way this is recorded. It sounds like they're playing in space in the club. And I really think that, like, whoever was the music director on this was like, ah, we need something for the theme song. I'll go down to Spaceland and see who's playing tonight, you know?
And it was them.
Yeah. And the lyrics are really fucking dark. They kind of remind me of my band Bomb. Because they're like, let's see, Damages. I'll play it.
Yeah.
And they only
Do
use
you want
a little,
me to play it?
Oh, you want to try your, yeah.
Teaching Hospital.
Yeah, search When I Am Through With You by the VLA. The lyrics are like, they're really dark. They're like, little lamb, when I am through with you, there'll be nothing left. I think it's an anti-love song, like a failed love song, but it totally fits the characters in this because they're totally consuming each other. But
awesome. Yep, I got it.
I searched online. One of the comments, there was like a thread about this somewhere from like 7 years ago, and it was you know, people saying how great this fucking band they've never heard of are, and they love it from the show, and like, wow, I've discovered this new band. Where can I buy the song? And one of the guys in the band like ego surfed and jumped on the thread and said, hey, Jason from the VLA, the band's called the VLA. I don't know what it stands for, but he said, Jason from the VLA here. Thanks for the kind words. Glad you guys like the song. Come say word up on our MySpace page. And I'm like
that's hilarious.
Like MySpace
word up
and word up
on like, my MySpace.
Like MySpace yeah. hasn't been relevant for 5 or 6 years or 7 years.
Do you think he did it post ironically?
I don't think so, man. Because MySpace was still the thing back then for bands, and word up though was already like 15 years out, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but they're like
word up. You still say word.
They're like
word is still. Cool.
I don't know. They're Mexican American punk rock dudes, so maybe they're. Maybe it's a cultural thing.
Right.
I don't know. But play this song. It's
Let's
so
try to
kick-ass.
Play this. All right.
So kick-ass. You want to test your new interface. Your new interface. Little bell. Shut it down, Jack.
That's dope.
Yeah. It sounded kind of distorted coming through. You might just giving you feedback on your new interface, but I had to turn you down before
it was too
distorted. Yeah. But isn't that fucking great sounding, man? It's so great, man.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I could almost guarantee that the bass player is playing a Rickenbacker bass with brand new strings through an Ampeg SVT amp. That's that sound. And it's so like nobody does that sound anymore. It sounds like violent rubber bands or something. But that's
a good thing.
That's a new band, and that sounds a lot like the music I used to listen to. Like, it sounds like New Order, The Cure, not The Cure, kind of like The Cure, but darker. Like New Order, Joy Division, The Fix, or not The Fix, The Fall, bands like that, like Public Image Limited. Yeah, that sounds like my kind of music, and it's a new band. I'm like, wow. But I can't find anything else by them either. Yeah, it's a new band.
Well, maybe this is their big break.
Well, I think it was because somebody was
on
a
beyond Damages. Oh, Damages is old, right?
Yeah. Because someone from Hollywood was on a deadline to find some music and went down to Spaceland and said, you, I think. I really think so. Spaceland was like the best place, man, to see a band because it was like, it's a small club. It holds like 200 people. There's great parking. It's not in Hollywood. It's in, you know, Silver Lake. But it's a small club that's really casual and doesn't have mean bouncers with fucking earpieces. But it's like, it has like the best sound system for a 200 seat, you know, it's 200 room, 200 person standing room only club. It's great. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Space Land.
Yeah. So yeah. So I like that song. But we're going to talk about Namecoin, right? Namecoin?
Right.
Yeah.
You were going to talk about Namecoin. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have an article coming out soon about Namecoin, but basically, here's what Namecoin is in a nutshell. Namecoin is a spinoff of Bitcoin that can be used as a currency, and it's the fourth most traded currency, and it's got the fourth highest price. It's $7 per coin. I mean, there's like 200 coins that are like, you know, you could buy 20 for a dollar kind of thing. Like, no, they have no market. But this one has a market, and right. It largely has a market because of a secondary use of it. It can be used for registering domain names with a system that works outside of governments. But you have to configure your computer to be able to use .bit domain names.
Now let's talk about a bit about the issue that this solves first. When you register a website name, a URL with somebody like GoDaddy, does that mean that the government has some kind of control over them? Or, I mean, because they're a company and they have to be regulated by the FCC or something?
Yeah, there's an organization called ICANN, ICANN. It's basically like who controls all the domain registrations for .com, .net, .gov. .gov you can only get if you're in the government, but .edu, right. Which you can only get if you're a, you know, recognized, licensed education.
Government-approved school.
Yeah, like yeah. All the common ones from the U.S., like .com, .net, .gov, .edu, and a few others are all controlled by ICANN. And I think that they also control, like, .biz and some of the new ones that are non-country specific. And, like, literally when the Department of Justice or the DEA or the FDA or anybody like that, like, seizes your website, what they do is they send a letter to ICANN and say, we're seizing this domain, point the servers away from where they're pointed now and point them to our servers. And then they put like their fucking ugly, violent logo up saying, we've taken this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It is an ugly logo, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's
like seeing
yeah, it's like coming home and seeing your door kicked in probably when it happens exactly. to you, you know?
Yeah.
And, and other countries' domain names like, you know, .edu for European Union, you know, .co.uk, whatever for UK. Some of those are like tacitly controlled by the ICANN, but some of them are controlled by those individual countries, but they're all kind of, they can all be pressured by governments to be shut down. Pirate Bay used to be PirateBay.com. You know, some fed government in the U.S. took that away. Then they had .se.
Now it's like .sx.
No, they'd taken that one too, and now it's .dot something else.
Oh, really?
I don't even know what it is, okay. And I'm not even going to look it up and say because it'll be probably something else by next week. But they're also using .bit, which is really smart, and they're kind of pushing adoption for it. But currently, to use a .bit address, you have to either go through a proxy, which is a hassle and, you know, a security issue, or you have to change your DNS servers. So basically, like, you have to go in under the hood. It's not terribly hard to do, but if you don't do it right, your computer will not access the internet. So it's not something the average person is going to do. But there's a guy I've been talking to. Like, basically, what I came up with the idea was, instead of having to rely on non-centralized, non-government-controlled DNS servers that can be shut down and you have to configure to use them, why not come up with like a plugin that uses the blockchain of Namecoin, you know, resident on your computer as the DNS server for this? And I was like, I've come up with this brilliant idea. And I told it to a friend of mine and he's like, sounds like a great idea, but check this out first. And he sent me to this site where there's a programmer. It looked like he's coming up with this fix, but this is the first thing I'm going to talk to him about is it's so arcanely written. I can't tell if it's that solution or not. It's written in techese. You know, I'm going to say like, well, the first thing you need to do if you want to get people to help you with this is clearly state, yes, it's using the resident on your computer blockchain locally instead of having to go out to the internet. So what this would mean, basically to get a domain, a .bit domain name, you need some Namecoin. They cost like $7 each. And for one Namecoin, you can register 100 .bit domain names. Now, there is a problem with cyber squatting. Most things are cyber squatting, including, I found out, freedomfiends.bit, some fucker registered back in June. But I registered.
Maybe it's not a fucker. Maybe it's somebody who maybe it's is a fiend fan of fiends
who did it for us.
Yeah, they wanted to. Yeah, they had foresight and thought they would get it for us and give it willingly when it's time.
Turn it over, bitches, or I'm going to call customer service and sick the anarchist ICANN on you. I'm kidding, because I just instead got fiends.bit, which is even cooler and shorter. I like it.
Snappier, yeah. Fiends.
I also got
we're at that level, right, where you can just say fiends.
Yeah, and I got
freedom fiends.
I got michaelwdean.bit, wormcoin.bit, anarchyholsters.bit, ancap.bit, kittyfeet.bit, libertarianpunk.bit, and nemavidadi.bit. Now, I got it.
Thank you.
I'm not cyber squatting any of these. I'm going to develop all of these. You know, most of them are things I have the .com I've already developed. And Anarchy Holsters, you've wanted forever, but you've never done anything with it. We've been paying for it for 3 years, and you've never done anything with it. So we're letting it go, but we're going to get the .bit. Ancap.bit, I just thought we should have. And I got your name and my name, so no one could cyber squat them. You know, if people type those into their computer, they're not going to show up, because you need to configure for .bit. Now, I have set up the wormcoin.com mirrored onto fiends.bit and wormcoin.bit, but you know it takes even longer to propagate. You know, like it takes 1 to 3 days for a new website to show up everywhere. Who knows how long it takes for this, because it's not going through the same centralized servers.
Yeah, I can't find it now. I'm searching all sorts of .bit addresses, and
well, none of them are going to show up.
It goes to ask.com.
No, none of them. Yeah,
and so that's the problem that you're trying to fix, right?
Is make
it to where it's wide enough adoption to where it's just a plugin in your browser that you click on, and then you can search all the .bits you want.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a plugin in the browser. Plus, you'll need to have the coin wallet, unless he builds that into the plugin, but that seems like a lot to do in one program. But basically what it would be is, instead of going to a government controlled domain registrar and getting, you know, fiends.com when it can be shut down, you know, you basically pay 7 cents to register, and you're paying it to like the network. You're not even paying it to a company. It goes to like network upkeep automation charges. You know, you
like
pay,
donating to Wikipedia.
Not even like that, because you can use Wikipedia without donating. I would say it's more like a reasonable toll on the information superhighway that's based that's literally not only based on the market, but based on like the computing, like the market of the electricity that it takes to do it, kind of thing.
The question I have, though, is Namecoin is like $7 per Namecoin right now, and that means 100 URLs. So each one is only 7 cents. Does that change? Like if Namecoin was $700 per Namecoin?
No, the protocol is 1/100th of one coin to register a domain name. So that I've actually
but 1/100th of a $700 coin would be $7. Right.
Well, I've written this paper that I'm not going to publish yet. This hacker guy, or like not hacker but programmer guy, that I found, who's solving this problem already. First of all, he needs Python programmers, and we've got two that we're going to help with. FiendPhone. I basically think I want to stop trying to get people to work on FiendPhone and try to get people to work on this instead, because FiendPhone is trying to build from the ground up to solve a problem that's 85% solved if you have Skype and a $50 or $100 mic that I recommend, and I help you set it up.
Right.
So, you know, basically I was trying to get something that works like this $400 per pair utility you and I are using that would be free. But really, it's like trying to get people to jump through all those hoops. I would rather just get people to get good mics and use Skype, because they already have Skype. And it sounds 85% is good now. Skype got better, and cheap mics have gotten better and easier to use. So it's like that problem's kind of solved. But I think it's a much bigger problem that the government could just start mass seizing websites. Especially with there's an article in Talkers today, and there's an article recently in Breitbart about how the FCC is laying grounds for a new fairness doctrine. And they're using like the Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism in conjunction with Social Solutions International Incorporated, which is like It sounds like
that doesn't sound it good sounds, at all. Does it?
Looks like it looks like a think tank run by Cass Sunstein, and it probably is. But the FCC and they're not doing it with like law. They're doing it. They don't pass laws anymore. They just write shit down on paper and say this needs to be dealt with by our committees. So the new head of the FCC, who's a guy who helped Obama get elected, he's an attorney with like no radio or broadcast experience. You know, he's in Obama's pocket. And he is launching a wide-ranging study that will require news agencies to inform the government on what stories they cover.
What?
To basically see, to identify market entry barriers and whether barriers impact the public critical information needs. A second goal is to help the FCC make proposals to eliminate statutory barriers to market entry by those entities consistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity. I fucking predicted this like 4 months ago. I have it on record. I predicted... Maybe it's not going to go the way I said, but it sounds to me like they're saying people who serve the community aren't being heard on radio, and they're going to like get the kids from the neighborhood to take the government, you know, radio classes and replace Rush Limbaugh with them and replace the Fiends with them and put, if they still let Rush and the Fiends be on, we're going to be on in the middle of the night when the AM stations all have to power down, mostly have to power down, and when everyone's asleep, and they'll say, you're still on the radio.
The thing is that no matter how much the state tries to do silly stuff like this, it's not going to affect the world as a whole because we have things like the internet. You know, it's like they're trying to shut down the printing press. They're trying to shut down the old media and grab more control of the old media. But the reason the old media is called that nowadays and the reason it's increasingly irrelevant is because people have already made the transition to getting the bulk of their information, at least the information they trust, from the new media.
I feel that more and more every day when I make my 4 or 5 hours of phone calls to radio stations, and they're like, you know, at best, they're like, yeah, we like you. We'll try to get you on in 6 months. And at worst, like, I can't get a hold of anyone. Or worse, I get a hold of them. They're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll look at it. Whatever. Yeah. Bye.
Can you imagine what the Fiends would be like if we started doing this in 1982? You know, when there was just radio, if we were calling stations.
We wouldn't.
Hey, we've got this show where we're complaining about every government ever in the history of the world and how awful they are. Put us on your radio station.
Yeah, we wouldn't have gotten on any. You know, what if we had to do that to get people just like, what if we had to do regionally to get on the internet? And the FCC would like that. And, you know, you're saying, oh, who cares about radio? And I'm kind of agreeing with you, even though I'm fighting every day to get on a more tiny little bit of radio somewhere. You know, it is a dying medium, and it's going to be replaced by the internet. And I would never say this on the weekend show because, you know, it would insult it, probably because we'd get kicked off stations for saying it. But I talk to program directors every day who are like, you know, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what it is. And I'm like, I do. You should have me on your station because I know. And they usually, but they're like, you've been on radio for 6 months. What can you tell me about media? But I'm like, I'm 8 steps ahead, man. I'm picturing like, okay, I predicted this thing about the FCC. There's a new news item out today about the FCC is making moves to do something like that. And all week I've been spending all my time trying to figure out how to make .bit domain names work remarkably, you know, easily for everybody so we don't have to have, so the FCC can't shut you down, you know, because it's a lot for them to like come to your house with guns and say, we don't like what you're saying. We're shutting you down. Like that people would notice, but
it's nothing to call ICANN if they remove what points to the server.
Yeah, and they would do it because they don't like what we say, but the reason they'd get of ICANN in the public would be, oh, they used a meme that has a picture of Bart Simpson and that's a copyright violation, you know? Or
Do you know much about this TPP thing, the Trans-Pacific Partnership? A lot of people are saying that has built into it a lot of this
it's like SOPA
nastiness.
It's like SOPA through the UN. It was actually like, wasn't it a Snowden leak or was it a WikiLeaks leak? Like somebody hacked it and found a draft of it and leaked it.
Right. Yeah. And it was just horrible.
It's so, you know, I don't want to go into it because I don't know that much about it. I'm thinking more about solutions than problems. But it's like, it's basically SOPA that didn't go through, but it's SOPA that could go through and will go through on an international level. And it also includes things like considering internet access a universal right, like Obama considers healthcare a universal right, which basically means everyone's going to be controlled in what they do on the internet and pay for the internet of everyone who doesn't have the internet so they can get to the Obamacare website. That's what it means, man.
Yeah. ISPs are already hard enough to deal with. Could you imagine if they were run by the DMV?
Could you imagine if they were run by the FCC? I mean, the FCC has been...
I mean, they're all the same to me, you know?
Yeah,
I mean... When I complain about the military, I'm like, yeah, this is the post office, you know, defending your country.
The post office with weapons, yeah. No, but the FCC has been really cracking down on people who aren't compliant with the AES system, you know, the new emergency alert system. I told you about a program director I talked to who said somebody walked in from the FCC unannounced and like she, you know, her AES was off because they had a lightning strike and it hadn't turned back on after the surge protectors, you know, like they it's one lady running a station. You know, she had to fire everybody because the economy's bad. So she's running everything, 5,000 watt station in the South and barely making it. And she had a lightning strike. It didn't destroy any equipment, but it took everything offline and she had to go down to the station and turn everything back on. And the surge protector protected the transmitter and all the equipment, but she forgot to turn on the little rack mount box that she had to buy that the government says you have to have so they can go, you know, Obama, dear leader, is taking over the Rush Limbaugh show and has an announcement, you know, basically. So, I mean, they say it so they can tell you where the tornado's coming, but, you know, really what it's for, I think, is so Obama can press one button and take over every radio station.
Has that ever been useful for anybody? If we were doing the radio show, I would ask anybody to call me and tell a story of how the emergency broadcast system has been useful to anybody ever that you know of.
I think it probably has locally, maybe, back when people listened to radio more than they do now. I mean, the only thing I can think about it that's good is that radios with batteries work when your power's off. And a lot of people like me have a hand crank radio also.
But, or you have the radio in your car, which if you still have gas, you can turn your car on and listen in.
Yeah, and that's if the power's not out at the radio station, too. And if there's someone there to man it, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like some kind of preparation for something that hasn't ever happened or isn't going to happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Did people listen to the emergency broadcast system during Katrina? Like,
maybe.
Did that help people get to the Superdome where they could then starve and be thirsty?
And be raped.
I don't understand.
And be raped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I have no idea. I would love it if anybody could tell us that, like, radio's ever saved their life. You know what actually probably does more good during times of emergency is ham radio operators cooperating, you know, with authorities, with, like, you know, firemen and, like, but when authorities are being their best, not their worst, you know, when they're not, like, shooting everybody, but they're trying to save lives, you know. Or at least,
well, and ham radio operators. I mean, are ham radio operators regulated by the FCC?
Yeah, but not nearly as much as commercial broadcast. I mean, you need a license. Okay. You have to pass a test. You have to pass.
Oh, you do.
You have to pass. It's kind of like a science physics radio knowledge test. That's kind of difficult, but you can study for it. There used to be used to also have to know Morse code, but they don't have that as of like two or 3 years ago. And
oh, really? It took them that long to get rid of the
and
Morse code.
And I think it's like $50 or $100 or something. Morse code is, I'm surprised they got rid of it because it's actually really useful in emergencies. Cause it's like, you know, first of all, like if radio is jammed or something and like, you know, you're coming through garbled, like you could probably still get information through with Morse code. It requires less bandwidth and you can use it with like, you know, lights or mirrors or, you know, banging on a pipe or any, you know, someone on the other side of the wall. It's very useful.
It's kind of like analog binary, isn't it? I mean, there's only two symbols. They're short and long.
Yeah.
And different combinations of them mean letters, right?
It's literally binary. I mean, it is analog and it is literally binary communication. There's actually a lot of stuff online, if you go dig for it, about the rise of the telegraph system and how it kind of had parallels with the rise of the internet. And like Like the operators, the guys who did the keying, like actually kind of had a subculture and would like, you know, when it was slow, they would like chat with each other and things and send
in Morse code,
send dirty jokes. Yeah.
Send dirty jokes.
So a lady came into the bar and showed her ankle. Oh my, you know,
is comedic timing different when you're using Morse code?
I don't know,
like,
but
the pauses actually mean something, right? Or no, I guess the pauses. Do they? They mean to break in letters.
There is personality in how people key. There's more.
Is there?
There's more difference in sign language, hand sign language. There's like, you know, slang, and there is style, and there's timing. I know that there's a thing called like an unsteady hand with keying, and the way I learned that was when we were watching Jericho. Did you watch Jericho?
You made me watch a couple episodes.
You weren't, or you were obsessed with it?
I did not become obsessed with it. No, okay. No.
Well, I was reading about that, and at the beginning of it, the opening credits, like, I forget, it was like the bomb going off, and then like it goes to dark, and the word Jericho comes up in kind of jagged letters, and there's like Morse code and like noises of like, I don't know, rumblings of cars going by or something below it. But the Morse code, I read about it. It says it's a different message every time, but it's sent in an unsteady hand, which is basically like, you know, someone who's
amateur either, who broke in and there's a label with the Morse code.
Well, no, I think it's more like someone who's experienced, but like someone's holding a gun to their head or their jaw is broken or they're dying or something.
Well, did people take unsteady hand to mean I'm in distress and somebody's got a gun to my
head?
That
could be possible. Yeah.
Wow. My only experience with Morse code is when I was a kid. I guess I'm old enough to where the toy walkie-talkies would have the label on the front.
It. Yeah, had the keys.
Yeah, yep. With the Morse code key. Yeah,
and I used to mess around
with it every now and then.
Fuck this. I could just talk into this thing. You know, that was kind of my attitude.
Right.
Let's go to the market and come back and talk about Namecoin and how it's going to save the world. All right, worms.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
I'm recording.
Am I still too quiet?
No, I turned you off. No? You sound good, okay. Man. You sound right. Good. I sound here. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, did you solve your Bitcoin problem? I can't remember.
I did. Yeah. It's completely solved now. Yay.
You sound like you're in a better mood. Do you want to tell people how you solved it? You just went to your old first wallet backup, huh?
Yeah. The original amount you sent me, I backed that up. I just saved the actual wallet file on a different hard drive for safekeeping, which I was going to try to use first, but I saved it under a different folder name so that I wouldn't lose, that nobody would hack it, you know? And then,
You didn't say, here's my hundreds in Bitcoin.com. Right. No, you said porn pictures of birds or something.
Right. And then I realized, I saved it under a different folder. So I went back and threw it in. And then originally when I put it in, it only had the original amount you gave me, but, I updated, I did the, what do you call it?
And it synchronized with the blockchain and fixed everything.
The reset blockchain. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think that would probably work even if this thing you had saved was saved before you got a large transaction. Because my understanding of Bitcoin is it's hard to say what is a Bitcoin. It's a number. But actually, the Bitcoin doesn't really exist on your wallet. It exists out in the blockchain. But you have encrypted keys in your wallet to prove that it's yours. That's what I understand it to be.
Right, right. So the other workaround we were going to try to take that was going to take a long time was to export everything and then get a new QR code that was all of my keys and then use a different wallet so it would have an objective view of what was actually in the chain.
And then read it from your smartphone. Yeah. See, I don't know how that would work. I don't know if you can make or should make publicly through a website a QR code that contains your keys, because QR codes generally for Bitcoin are just the wallet address, just the address,
right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Luckily I didn't have to go that far and I did solve my problem. So I'm in a better mood and I won't be so grumpy.
I know.
Like I was at the beginning of that first segment.
I know.
So I'm thankful for that. And whenever there's a new technology, it's like this for me. So I don't want anybody to get a bad taste in their mouth. When I first downloaded Cubase, it took me 2 hours just to get it to play or record any sound at all. And it was just trial and error and, maybe I'll check this box. Maybe I'll enter that box and Googling and YouTube. But when I figured it out, I was like, I love this. And now I use it, a couple times a week. So I guess that's just technology, man. There's learning curves for it.
I'm going to send you this FCC mandate letter and have you read some of it. It's kind of horrifying, and it does contain the words it does say something about the Fairness Doctrine in the first sentence.
And we've complained about cabinet-level organizations pretty much being the lawmakers now.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of when we started Freedom Fiends. Because that's a kind of horrifying thing, because nobody knows who these people are. You're sending me the letter from this guy. You don't know his name, do you?
No, but
you could read it off the letter.
Well,
but
I do want to look up his name and read a little about him, because I know that he helped Obama get elected.
Okay.
He fundraised and
these kinds of people, like the head of the FCC or the head of the FDA or the head of the FTC, they're never in the news. Nobody knows their name.
Yeah.
They're not public figures really, but they have so much more power than you would think, than the average person would think.
Yeah.
You
know,
they
it's think, like the president.
They think you send people to Congress and you elect them and they make the laws and the president enforces them. But
the president
not
isn't
works.
The problem. It's everyone he appoints. And the fact that there's people for, with this power to be appointed. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think I'm far more worried about this guy and Catherine Sebelius than I am about Obama. in particular, you know.
Well, because these guys actually tell the regulators what to do. The goons with the pencils and the goons with the boots take their marching orders from these kinds of people.
Right, and at least what Sibelius is backing and enacting is something that was passed through Congress, which who cares, who gives a shit, but it's like, you know, I got a letter from my tax prep guy saying, like, here's what you need to know about why you need to get Obamacare. Like, you know, it wasn't him being pushy. It was like his newsletter he sends out every year of like, here's what you need to know about how, you know, here's what did you call it? Your legal ease guide.
No, your legal ease prospectus.
Yes. Yes. It tells you how much they're going to.
Yes.
How much
these are the positions they will fuck you in now. It's the Wednesday show.
Yeah, it is the Wednesday show. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but the FCC thing, this isn't even going to be a law. This is like going to be like guidance, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, but let's see. Do we have the letter yet?
I sent you the letter. It was pretty big PDF. It was long. It was a lot of legalese. It was one meg, 1 meg of legalese. But Tom Wheeler, let's see, FCC. Is that his name? FCC. Yeah. These people. But they want to take over the internet. They really do. I mean, the FCC was pushing hard to get laws passed for net neutrality. And all the kids bought this bullshit of like, net neutrality is good because it'll be a law that means they can't, you know, they can't tell us we can't use this kind of – basically, it's putting into law that you can't regulate one kind of bandwidth over another. Like, and what it's supposed to prevent is like, say – Warner Brothers preventing you from using Netflix. But in actuality, and a lot of people who were like hackers and Bitcoin and BitTorrent people and pirate people were like, yes, we need net neutrality because it'll protect BitTorrent. And it's like, no, it won't. They'll fucking, arrest everybody for BitTorrent after they put this in. And what it really does is it controls competition and does price setting to the point where you get like European and Canadian style internet where like you get 30 gigs a month and that's it. And if you go over that, you have to pay hundreds of dollars per month.
What's funny, because the FTC does these things like this and they call it, making sure that you're not using anti-competitive practices. but when they do things like this, it's the definition of being anti-competitive, because the government is taking control of the market and deciding how people can compete and how they can't compete. They decide who does what and when and how. I mean, something like net neutrality, hasn't the market already solved that? I mean, are there any ISPs out there that won't let you watch Netflix?
No. No.
I mean, my ISP actually blocks me from going to Pirate Bay. And they've done it in a few different ways in a few different places I've lived.
Yeah.
But there's easy workarounds. I mean, workarounds you can just figure out by yourself. You don't even have to, like, Google how to do it.
Okay. Tom Wheeler, the current chairman of the FCC, and that's who this letter's from, I believe. Prior to working to being the chairman of the FCC, Wheeler worked as a venture capitalist and a lobbyist for the cable and wireless industry. Oh, man.
Okay.
This guy wants to control the internet like he controls
Yeah. Now, isn't that that's a perfect example of the other problem with government regulators deciding who gets to compete and how is there's regulatory capture. You know, they usually have some connection with whatever big players there are in the industry or have been in the industry. And they've got people they rub elbows with that they can help benefit from these regulations and that do benefit from these regulations. So the biggest way, I guess, to compete successfully and stop your competition is to use the government regulators to do it for you.
Obama called this guy the Bo Jackson of telecom. I don't know what that is.
Bo Jackson was an athlete when I was a kid. He played baseball and football and was pretty successful at both, or moderately successful at both. I don't remember.
So does that mean this guy is moderately successful at all the different things he does, or what does that mean?
I can't remember. Maybe he was.
He likes to juggle different kinds of balls.
I guess that's what it means. Yeah,
man,
yeah.
I would never say this shit on the weekend.
Well, there were these commercials. It was like Bo knows baseball, Bo knows football, Bo knows deodorant.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wipe deodorant under his arm.
Yeah,
Bo knows or something like that. You know.
Yeah. Well, Barack Obama's dog is named Bo. It's supposed to stand for Barack Obama. Maybe it's named after Bo Jackson.
Yeah, maybe he's just really into Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
He says he wants to be a sportscaster. So I don't remember much about Bo Jackson because he was like really popular for a while and then like not at all. Like I don't know what happened to him. But anyway, so what's his name? Wheeler, Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah, what's he got to say? Read the first paragraph.
The Honorable Tom Wheeler.
Honorable.
I don't honor him at all. Okay, so this is to him. Who's it from then? Let's see. From Fred Upton, Michigan chairman.
Oh. That's a Republican congressman who's worried that this guy is going to take away his Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
It's a guy who's basically saying, I love free speech, but would probably be horrified that the Freedom Fiends are on radio if he heard it. What's the guy's name? I'll look him up.
Fred Upton, Michigan, and Henry A. Waxman, California ranking member. So Waxman is the congressman.
Waxman is a horrible Democrat liberal. He kind of looks like Bob Barr. He's got a retired porn star mustache.
So this letter isn't from the FCC chair.
No, it's to the FCC chair.
Okay, but it's complaining about what he's about to do.
Yeah.
All right. So, dear Chairman Wheeler, last Congress, after more than 60 years, the FCC finally removed the, quote, fairness doctrine from the Code of Federal Regulations. Over the course of its time on the books, FCC chairmen and commissioners have acknowledged that it was an intrusion by the FCC into the freedoms of speech and the press that could not be supported by law. Given the widespread calls for the commission to respect the First Amendment and stay out of the editorial decisions of reporters and broadcasters, we were shocked to see that the FCC is putting itself back in the business of attempting to control the political speech of journalists. It is wrong, it is unconstitutional, and we urge you to put a stop to this most recent attempt to engage the FCC as the, quote, news police.
But this guy also, Upton, I'm reading his voting record, he voted to, like, extend FEMA's money, give him more money.
Huh. Well, okay, but these are congressmen grandstanding. I mean,
yeah.
We can't really disagree with anything in that first paragraph, can we?
I don't think that really reading his take on it. I think we should read Breitbart's take on it. I kind of like Breitbart's take on it.
Well, there's something in here interesting, though.
Okay, go ahead.
It wasn't until last Congress that the FCC finally removed the fairness doctrine. Like, does that mean that people stopped paying attention to it and nullified it themselves, and then
basically,
they finally removed it from the books?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's another great example about how nullification works, even on the personal and private and corporate level, I guess. Just stop paying attention to it.
Yep.
Withdraw your consent. All right. So he's talking about these plans, and they're supposed to undertake a, quote, qualitative analysis of providers. So they're going to be judging the quality of your content, apparently. It appears to seek information on how all local news outlets, whether regulated by the FCC or not. Huh. That's kind of a bombshell, too. So this would be people even who have stations in their tri-yard area. Are they going to have to submit to this?
Maybe. And it says that the study this is based on was carried out by the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism, a school operated by the same group that employed Obama and William Ayers in Chicago in the late 90s. Oh, man.
Wow.
Social Solutions International is who wrote
the
study.
Is this the CIN study you're talking about? Is that the name of the study?
It's entitled Research Design for the Multi-Market Study of Critical Information Needs.
Critical Information Needs. That's it. The CIN study. The study also cost $900,000, according to Upton.
What a jobs Waxman program. Like, not only are we going to take away all your fun, we're going to, like, employ a bunch of weirdo fucking college people to do it. Weirdo fucking college people.
Yeah.
Kind of sound redneck.
So I guess that's where the money's at in radio. It's complaining about how you need to shut down all the radio stations and getting a chunk of that $900,000.
So
we're at the wrong end of it, apparently.
I think we are. So we could talk about this all day, and really it would just be the libertarian version of the government has gone too far and we need to get good men in there. You know, I mean, like Rush Limbaugh is probably having this same conversation, but just not cussing.
Oh, I bet.
And not going as far with, you know, I mean, he's probably saying we need to get good people into the FCC. I don't know, though. A lot of veteran radio broadcasters fucking hate the FCC, but I don't know if they say it on their shows. I know that what's his name, dude? The Morning Zoo.
Are they allowed to say it? That'd probably be considered prurient interests.
Well, if they say fuck them, it would. But if they just say, I don't like the FCC, they're very not very good for me.
Well, that's part not part of our critical informational needs, Michael, so it shouldn't be on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, I think that these people would love to take away all the right-wing talk radio and replace it with, like, and now Susie from the local high school telling you her great experiences with signing up on the Obamacare website. That's critical information to them, you know?
Here's the other thing. Government media sucks.
It does.
I mean, could you imagine that'd be another reason. That'd be the main reason people would turn their radios off and the medium would die is if the government has more control, the quality of their qualitative analysis.
They'll probably do some of it. They'll probably do some of it like NPR. Like NPR overall doesn't all suck. You know, there's some real journalism on there, but it's like,
yeah,
it's not government owned media, but it's kind of government regulated and subsidized media. And, you know, they give them guidelines for guidance.
And socialist media. I don't think social media.
I don't think they even give them guidelines for NPR. I just think they only hire people that just know what the game is, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, that's how mainstream media works too, right? I mean, you ascend based on the ability to tell the stories that your news director wants you to tell. And the news directors get hired based on their ability to tell the stories that the general manager wants the station to tell and the brand. And it's all decided by, you know, focus groups and studies. And the majority of people out there are statists. So you end up with a lot of statist stories.
Yeah, which is why my good friend Nima Vidadi, who is an award-winning television journalism, I'm good. I'm on radio. Is an award-winning television journalist who had a promising career, and if you'd played the game, probably could have like ended up, you know, in Houston doing the evening news at some point in some major market.
Why I left though was because what does a promising career mean? It would mean I would be telling the stories I don't want to tell, and
it would mean you're getting you'd be buying better suits and getting paid more and having better haircuts. Yeah. And a bigger audience to read from a teleprompter. You probably wouldn't even be doing any research anymore.
No, I'd be doing – I liked spot news, and I was good at it. I liked being out in the field. And, you know, I guess the thing is – and maybe in a bigger market like Houston or something, I'd be doing a lot of spot news. But I don't know. Even when you do the crime stories and or the emergency stories or the SWAT raid stories, which are fun because, you know, you're there amongst them, you still – have to talk to the police PIO, and he still feeds you a line of garbage, and you can't roll your eyes when he's talking to you. So it's still not something I'd want to do.
You can. They just won't show it.
So, yeah, when I look back on it, that's just not something I could have in good conscience continued to do. And I think people, you know, if they can't do something because it pains them to do it on a daily basis, they're probably going to stop unless they're already heavily invested. And I was just beginning my career, so.
Yeah. So what was the term they used in here? We don't need to stay on this, and we don't need to stay on the name coin. I just wanted to introduce what what MWD is up to this week. Is I'm trying to – I'm not a programmer, but I'm trying to work with programmers to build the roads, really, is what it is. And here's – and I see –
You're a road consultant.
Yeah, this appealed to me before this thing came out in Talkers today of like, look what the FCC is going to have done to you tomorrow. Like, oh my God. You know, basic – and I know that the FCC wants to take over the internet. They really want to. And there's this other UN PPPPP, whatever it's called out there. You know, people need to adopt using .bit, and someone needs to come up with a way to do it better. So basically, domain names aren't controlled by governments. But what was the term they used in this of, okay, identifying market entry barrier? Okay, the public's critical information needs. If you want to know what that is going to look like, look at the thing I just pigeoned you. It's the Chinese government releasing information to Chinese citizens. 5 reasons of why smog is good for you.
Yes, this is what your state media will tell you.
This is like Clintonese Obama, you know, doublespeak taken to like nobody's allowed to criticize and say it's wrong. This is where it ends.
Exactly.
Up.
This is of the same kind as the Obamacare website works now.
Yeah.
So according to these CCTV, does that mean Chinese something TV? Chinese commie TV?
Chinese closed circuit TV, probably.
Yeah. So the Time magazine translator indicated the following CCTV rationalizations for smog. This is
Wait, you have to describe the picture, too.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, it's a girl, and at first glance, you think she's standing in front of like a white background for a headshot or something. She's wearing a SARS mask, and she's got her chromed robot turd in front of her. But no, you look closer, and you realize that's not a white background. That's actually the sky of Beijing, yeah, or Shanghai.
And you can see like really vague outlines of some skyscrapers behind her that like don't look like they're that far. The one on the right looks like it's two blocks away, and you can barely see it through the smog.
So here's the five
and
reasons.
And she's probably reading these five reasons on her Chrome robot turd. Like, oh. Yeah,
she got a text. She got one of those emergency texts from the Chinese emperor.
From Comrade Smog at the Department of Fish and Smog.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Comrade Smog, tell me.
It unifies the Chinese people.
Because they're all breathing smog? What the fuck is that?
I guess. So I
kind
guess
of, kind of like that children's
poor people and rich people both have to breathe smog. That's it, right?
Or like that children's song, I see the moon and the moon sees me. The moon sees somebody. The smog sees somebody I want to see.
No, it's I can't see the tower and you can't see it either. What I never understood the unity thing. That's been used all the time in like every age by every ruler,
every
dictator.
Communist ever. It was Obama's it's Obama's motto now, replace change for the second one. It's forward. It's not unity. Or is it forward and unity? It's just forward.
No, but unity was Lincoln, right? Preserve the union. And people still credit him for that's what he did that was great. Well, what's the point of preserving a union? I mean, a union has no amazing thing to it, right? I mean, what if it's a union that's involuntary? I mean, a person raping a chick, they're unified while he's in her.
A gangbang is unity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's also democracy, I've heard it said. Like, you know, those five guys all agreed that they should rape that woman. She's against it, but they're going to do it. And when you say things like that to the average person, they think you're crazy. But it's true.
But it's true.
Absolutely true, man.
Yeah. They think you're crazy because it goes against all the propaganda they've been ingesting their entire lives.
Yeah.
And so they have to say the catechisms to themselves over and over again that night so it doesn't stick in their craw.
Yeah.
Number two. It makes China more equal. Wait, isn't that just number one repeated? That doesn't count. I don't think you can count those as two different things. One is it unifies China. Two is it makes China more equal.
It doesn't translate. I think there's a subtle difference probably in the Chinese words that are used for unifying and equality by smog.
Fair enough. All right. Three, it raises citizen awareness of the cost of China's economic development.
You know, if there were blood in the streets, it would raise awareness even more.
I guess so.
And they would say that. They would say that. Yes.
Yeah.
In North Korea, they probably say that. You know, we had to shoot a bunch of your relatives for complaining, and they're still rotting out in the street in front of your house. But you can look at them and think of the glory of the North Korean state.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these remind me of when people in Congress try to bring back the draft, and some people do it ironically, and some people do it because they think everybody should have some kind of service. Because then you know you've paid a cost to the state.
They try
and
to
so
do
you
it
feel
ironically.
More loyalty.
People in congressmen yeah, try to pass laws ironically.
Doesn't Rangel? He always brings up the draft. And I kind of get the sense that because he's more of an anti-warish kind of guy. I mean, he's a liberal Democrat. That doesn't mean much
anymore.
Isn't
he the guy that's like facing felony charges for graft?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if they're felony charges, but there were ethics
violations. And he's one of those
politicians
who wouldn't step down even though his party was screaming at him and the public was screaming at him, right?
Let's see. Rangel and the draft. Democrat Charlie Rangel calls for a national draft ahead of war vote on Syria. So, I think he usually raises this. Maybe I think it's his
poison pill. I think he's like, well, you know, if you want to go to war, we're going to send your kids too.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not doing it because he actually wants there to be a draft.
It's
kind of like when Ron Paul voted for the Well, he didn't vote for it. He actually
proposed that they vote for declaring
war on Iraq. Somebody told him that's an anachronism. We don't do that anymore. We don't declare war anymore. Somebody in the committee told him that.
Yeah, and I wonder if we should get into how you said you. The guy who founded Blackwater says he's a libertarian, which is mind-blowing to me. Because when I think of Blackwater, I think of, like, murder death squads with less accountability than the army. But I guess in a libertarian paradise, that would be defense. It would be private. And, you know, the only problem—
I think they'd have more accountability.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Especially than the army. I mean, what accountability is there in the army? I mean, the huge story from a few weeks back where the Pentagon doesn't know where all of its billions and billions of dollars go. They just make up numbers every month.
Well, speaking of accountability, the season I'm watching now of Damages is they're suing a Blackwater-type organization for wrongful death in the Middle East of some people. And the guy who it plays, he's based on, his character is based on the guy who founded Blackwater, who claims he's a libertarian. And he's played by John Goodman, who's one of my fucking favorite all-time actors. But
he's
kind of interesting. Yeah, but...
Well, when the U.S. Army loses its immunity, they take their ball and go home. I mean, that's why Obama, he couldn't finish the status of forces agreement, or no, Bush failed to get them to put immunity in the status of forces agreement. So the army was like, well, you mean we can't kill whoever we want and not face accountability from the locals? And they left. Yeah. And that's the new controversy with the Afghani thing too, is Karzai doesn't want to give them the immunity. And they're like, you better sign this or else. And he's actually growing a pair, I guess.
Well, Obama also said he didn't like contractors like Blackwater because it blurs
they
the lines.
They interfered with the monopoly of force.
Of violence. Didn't he say violence?
Violence.
Yeah, he said violence.
I think he said violence.
You know, Ben Stones told me he saw a just stunningly jaw-dropping ad on TV for Selective Service the other day. Ugh. He said it was really weird how they did it. It was basically like young dudes all talking about how great it is to sign up for the service, Selective Service, and, you know, young dudes who'd been in the military talking about how great the military is and how it gives you benefits for college and things. And it was all really cheery. And then one guy says, plus, it's the law. And when he says it's the law, they show the inside of a fucking federal prison for one second.
Are you serious?
And then they go back to the shiny, happy young men talking about how great it is. It's like it's a 30-second commercial, and like 28 seconds of it are really happy. And in the middle, like two-thirds of the way through it, there's two seconds of literally the gun in the room that's at your head.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. There's an ad for USAA, the insurance and banking group for veterans and military people.
Yeah.
We actually use it. That's our bank because my wife's dad is an Air Force vet. He's got his 20-year retirement and all that. They're great. Their customer service is actually really good. But they run this ad, and it's just awful. It's this woman talking about like her dad and his service, and she's telling the story about how he was going through medical school. He was just about to start his private practice. And it's all this flowery like music and tinkling piano. And you're thinking, oh, great. He's about to start a private practice and he's about to help people with their health care. And then she says, when he got the letter from the president selecting him for service. And that's supposed to be a good thing. And the war, she says, is Vietnam. So, I mean, I thought that was completely discredited. I thought nobody thinks, oh, great, you got to go to Vietnam instead of starting a doctor's office.
The only people that really wanted to go to Vietnam were Marines. And our friend Paul Bonneau signed up for the Marines and spent the Vietnam War running computer rooms in Honolulu, Hawaii, and hanging out on the beach. Like, how cool is that? If he hadn't joined the Marines, he would have been over getting shot at. He would have been drafted and sent in the army and been shot at. But he joined the Marines because it seemed like the thing to do. And you have to remember, like, this guy is one of the most ANCAP people I know. He's a friend of mine. He lives in Wyoming. He's been to my house. He's hung out. He's like 65 or something. Really hip old dude. Always has a gun.
Helped you set up your uninterrupted power supply.
Helped me set up everything. Because he was like, oh, I have a voltage use tester in my truck, and went out and got it. And like, we measured everything and figured out how to connect it correctly so the load would be balanced the best. Yeah, he's great. And he writes for Strike the Root, that website.
The Root. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy. He's a cool old guy that's always got a gun on him, and I like him. And he's really mellow and funny. But he joined the Marines when he was like 18, and then the Vietnam War happened. And here's what he said. Like, you know, this the draft, they were drafting everybody they could and sending them in the army over to be shot at. And he joined the Marines. And the thing was, like, they had no shortage of Marines who were like, I want to go over and kill gooks, you know? So, like, he didn't have to go because he's in the Marines and he was smart and he knew computer mainframes. And they were like, well, we need someone to go to Honolulu and run this, you know, radio computer room. And he's like, I'll do it, sir. So, like, where did you spend the Vietnam War? On a beach in Hawaii, sir.
Yes, yes. Yeah. There's lots of good, or at least that makes two I know of, good people working as government employees in Hawaii.
Who's that?
I guess the other would be Ed Snowden, although I guess he was a contractor.
Yeah. He was the Blackwater of the internet.
It just, it still blows my mind, though, that like ads like the one Ben was describing and the one I described. I mean, how can you get on radio and play this spot dozens of times that makes it sound like it was a good thing that he was drafted out of starting a doctor's office in this country to help people who were sick?
Yeah.
And he was drafted to go to Vietnam and either die or kill for no good reason at all.
Yeah, and you know, those kind of ads are played on our show on the radio. And like you – In cities insert their own ads in their 11 minutes of ad time, you know, the local stations. Right. And sometimes when people can't fill the ad space, there's this service, this satellite service that basically feeds you public service announcements, which includes shit for the Army and the draft and the sign up for the Selective Service. Probably not the Army. The Army probably pays, but the Selective Service is a public service announcement. The American Heart Association, you know, all the feel-goody national whatever, like those are the ads that play when you don't have paid ads on stations. And like you said, it's better to have us on after it than someone else who's saying, yeah, it's a good thing. Support the troops because they kill people that are bad and have beards.
Have beards, yeah. Yeah, yeah. When I was at journalism school, when we had a weekly TV show that we did, a newscast, to sort of train us for how to do it in the real world. And we didn't have ads, and it was actually broadcast, you know, on our little antenna. So people who could get the campus station on their TV, you could see it. And we would play public service announcements for the commercial breaks, you know, to train us how to work with commercial breaks. And we actually had mini DV tapes full of these old ads.
I remember when we had to watch our videos on mini DV tapes. Man, I can remember like when I was getting into filmmaking seriously in like, no, I don't know, 2000, like 98, 99. And all I wanted in the world was a mini DV video camera.
Yeah.
Because that was the shit. And now I'm like, mini DV? Seriously?
It's awful to work with.
You have to import fucking, oh my God. It doesn't have an SD card. Oh my God. And it's standard definition. Oh my God.
Right. I can't just drag and drop my files. I have to play them in real time.
But the Selby movie and DIY or Die are shot on that format. And I didn't even own a camera. I couldn't afford one. Now it's like I have more money and they're really cheap. I could go on Amazon. I mean, I could buy a used mini DV camera right now, like while we're talking, and not even have to ask my wife.
Why would you?
Because it'd be like $60 or something, you know.
Nostalgia. It'd be like Kevin McKernan's typewriter.
Yeah. Well, we have a rule in the house of either of us can buy anything we want anytime we need to if we really want it and it's under $50 without consulting the other person. And it's our money. It's together. But it's like, if it's over $50, we ask each other. And I'll bet I could get a mini DV camera for like $50 with shipping on eBay. But why would you?
Did we shoot a camera?
Okay. No, we didn't shoot a camera. But in the Guns and Weed movie, there's a scene. I did it. I don't think we shot it. I don't know what I think I gave it to Kofi when I was done with it. I risked destroying a camera, though.
That's it.
Yeah, what it was, I did that part by myself. It's the part where we shoot, where you see the plates being shot from the view of the gun. And it's a weird view, too. It's not like through the down the top of it. It's the bottom of it. What I did was I set up my good high def camera on a tripod and pointed it at the plate. And I'd written War on Guns on one and War on Drugs on the other, kind of crappy with magic marker. And I went out there by myself. I stopped at Walmart with all the guns and cameras in the car, left them in there, went into Walmart and bought the plates on my way out to Coal Mountain. And, I set up one camera, you know, like 10 feet to the right of me pointing at the plate. And then that was the good camera. And then the old camera that I was willing to sacrifice, but it didn't destroy it. I duct taped to the underside of the barrel of the Mosin near the end of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's kind of
survived, though.
It's like picture in picture. And it's like at an angle because it was hanging at an angle. So it's like a diamond shaped inset in the scene of the thing being shot. It was some cool editing and it worked really well. And I was pretty proud of my creativity on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go to the market. I would say you're in a much better mood than when we started.
I think so.
Especially since we just talked for about a half hour of really good stuff, and we've only gotten through three of the 5 points of why China thinks smog is good for the Chinese people. Let's go to the market.
We'll
and
be
come
back with number four in just a bit.
In our countdown of smog, comrade. All right.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, Comrade Smog. Hey, so when you reverted your Bitcoin wallet, did the payment to Ben ever go through or not?
No, did not.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you send Ben 30 now while we're talking, while the price is down?
No, I'll do it later.
Okay. I think you should put something funny in it, like, you know, something about Freedom Fiends and Bad Quaker or something. Put a note in it to him.
Okay. Okay. I will do that.
Put a note yelling at the NSA.
Are they watching everyone's Bitcoin transactions too?
I guess they could. I mean, I have a theory that, you know, Satoshi might be the NSA, but who knows?
Well, there was that other great story about the NSA being in those multiplayer online games.
Oh, yeah.
Games.
Free Talk Live did a whole bit about that. That's another Snowden leak. Like, he's the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. He really is. Yeah, Scott Horton used to complain about the fact that Greenwald and Snowden didn't just dump all this, you know, so that we could all pick the good stuff out and then complain about it, you know, one big, large time.
Well, I think
bam.
It's a strategy. But I think it's like, you know, if they try to execute either of those people, they'll just once it, you know, I don't know. It's blackmail, kind of, maybe. I don't know. I don't love blackmail. I think self-defense is a better term, but we've lost Nima. I don't know where Nima went. But,
yeah, the NSA screwed me over.
Yeah,
I'm back. Okay. You're saying they pressed. You think it's a strategy, and I think you're right. I think it's better like this because then it's like every week or so something new that's awesome, that's an awesome story comes out, and the NSA lies about everything they've been doing, and then something comes out, and it's like, no, you were lying about that bit where you said you didn't know our locations all times. Yeah. You know,
there's that. I think it kind of makes it more like journalism than just dumping too, because when you dump inordinate amounts, you know, there is the thing of you let everybody fiend source it. You let the whole world paw through it and point out. Right. But also there is still some value. I think the only value to the old media is pointing out things on the internet, literally. And I think that people like Greenwald do a really good service. You know, it's like the collateral murder thing never would have been like something everyone had heard of if the Der Spiegel and the UK subs or whatever it's called, whatever the paper's called, the Times, the Mirror, the Globe, you know, those people like made people look at it.
Right. Well, there's still a value to professional journalists, people who are trained and experienced at picking the important points out of something and contrasting it with other alternate viewpoints. And people still do that. The thing is, for right now, a lot of them still work for some of these old media outlets. I mean, but then again, with people like Greenwald moving and working with Omidyar or whatever his name is, the former founder of eBay, or I guess you can never be a former founder, but one of the founders of eBay, you know, that helps to push it to where we're going to have professional journalists who are trained and experienced in the old method, but who now have
like
their
Ben Swan, man.
Sitting point. Yeah, and you. Yeah, like Ben
and you.
Swan too.
Although you're really not doing what you used to do.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I've gone from journalism to opinion.
Yeah,
this is editorializing all the time.
Yeah,
which is fun, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, and you're even a little more newsy than me. I'm kind of like, government regulation? Well, fuck you! You know, right, I don't really have a cogent argument. I don't have a cogent argument for why it's bad. I'm just like, that's square. So speaking of square.
The stuff like Greenwald doing this thing and Swan, though, is it helps open the door. I mean, maybe one day I'll be able to take a job for an outfit that I can do journalism that's not, you know, TV news type journalism from the state, you know, a local news affiliate to where I'm interviewing the city hall and talking about how great it is that they've got more people in jail because now it's not like they have unsold beds, you know, in a hotel.
Or, you know, maybe in 5 or 10 years, like what's on Fox News won't be people with weird haircuts talking about, you know, how Obama's horrible and Romney would be great. Maybe it will be you and I working from our home studios, hologrammed together, looking like we're sitting at a table doing this show, you know, on TV.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too, is,
I'm not very interesting though, man. It's like, I look like I'm picking my nose and checking my email when I'm doing a show.
Well, because you can. If you had a camera on you, you'd play to it.
I'd probably cut my hair.
You didn't look like you were checking your email and picking your nose when you were on stage for Bomb, did you? No.
Hell
no.
You
were animated.
Yeah, but that's a little different. But I kind of looked like I was picking my nose and checking my email when I was shooting rifles in the Guns and Weed movie.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've probably cut my hair more than once a year if I were on TV.
There you go. There you go. I still wouldn't. I'm letting mine grow out.
I know.
I like it.
You want to look like a mullah. Yeah, it would be like you, but you'd look like you're doing a terrorist video from a cave.
No, mullahs don't let their hair hang down. They wrap it up in a black turban or a white one, depending on what their relation is to Muhammad.
Okay, comrade. So let's be, as the FCC says, consistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity with this the Chinese dictums here of why smog is good for the comrades.
So the fourth reason why smog is good for China It makes people funnier.
What the fuck does that mean? What, it causes birth defects you can laugh at? What the fuck does that mean?
It makes people funnier. Causes birth defects you can laugh at. Oh, man. Yeah. It reminds me of that that Louis C.K. joke where he's like, there's all kinds of weird babies out there. You know, babies with two heads, two legs,
Did you watch Every Sperm is Sacred yet?
No. Should we play that?
Yeah, I think we should play it. And oh, there's also a song called Fuck You Very Much, the FCC by the same guy, Eric Idle. You should probably play that.
Mm-hmm, but I think I've heard that
one. And let's just get, you could look up Every Sperm is Sacred and cue it up while I read number five. Smog makes people more knowledgeable of things like meteorology and the English word haze.
It's apparently, yes. That's, I mean, this, important public knowledge.
You know, this kind of reminds me of the critiques. Remember we read that thing of, it was some statist saying like what a libertarian paradise would look like. And they were like, well, yes, you know, there wouldn't be any children who aren't taken care of because they'd all work in brothels and be paid, you know? I mean, that's what China is like. And yeah, that's not a lack of government.
No, I think it's awful. The fact that, children aren't allowed to work
in brothels.
I mean, anywhere. I mean, come on, that's really awful that people don't get to get any work experience until they're like 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's killing family farms too, because they're using child labor laws on family farms. And what else? I heard today that Obamacare may shut down. I heard this on Fox, so take it with a grain of salt, but it may shut down volunteer fire departments because they're going to be required to provide Obamacare insurance now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The state can't change the reality of the market. All they can do is outlaw ways that people have to deal with their conditions. So this is,
I just farted on the air. I've never farted on the air before.
That's pretty awful.
Audibly. All right. So play. Do you have it queued up?
Yeah, I've got it queued up.
Okay. I want to hear you laughing too. Well,
every sperm is sacred.
We believe.
Yes.
Well, let me put it like this.
There are Jews in the world. There are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed, but I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate. God shall make them pay for each sperm that can't be found.
Wow.
Every sperm is wanted. Every sperm is good. Every sperm is needed in your neighborhood.
In due Taoist moment, spill theirs just anywhere. But God loves those who treat their semen with more care.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is good.
Every sperm is needed.
pagans feel there's a mountain, hill, and plain.
God just write them down for each sperm that's built in vain.
Every sperm is sacred.
Yeah. Right, going all the way back. That was Monty Python.
1983.
With... Okay.
It's the year you're born, isn't it?
84.
Yeah. Yeah. You were being a sacred sperm when that was playing in theaters.
I guess. Yeah. Like, that might be possible.
Did your pregnant wife watch that with you? I heard you talking to her.
No, that was actually, I was queuing up the Eric Idle, and he started to play a little bit over it.
I thought that was you talking, sing. Either... I'll take you to the hospital in a minute, or come watch this, or come watch this, honey. It's funny.
No, none of that. So, yeah, I guess every sperm's sacred.
Isn't that like the most awesome piece of musical theater you've ever seen?
Yeah, the visuals definitely sell it a little bit better. There was nuns dancing, though, like French ladies, and kids in an orphanage singing about sperm was great.
That wasn't an orphanage. That the thing that comes right before that is that man gets laid off at his job, and he comes home and he says, and he says to his 67 children, and there are 67, he has 67 children.
He has 67 children.
Yeah, and they're all like pretty much the same age. I don't know how that works with one wife, but I just see a lot of quadruplets. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're all like, Octomom, you know, 3 to 12 or something. But he says that the mill is closed, children. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to sell the whole lot of you for medical research. And they're like, but why, Daddy? And he's like, well,
because you're all full of stem cells.
He says, because I'm not allowed to wear a condom. And they're like, but why? And that's where what you saw starts. Well, I'll tell you why. Because I'm a Roman Catholic. And there's actually that part before is intercut with his neighbors who are Protestant. And saying, you know, those Catholics with all their children, he's looking at all the kids across the street going into the house. And, it's after that when he's taking them to the medical research place to sell them. And he's like, those Catholics have so many kids. And the wife's like, and they're all, the women are all played by men in Monty Python pretty much. Mm-hmm, and the wife is like,
cause it's funny.
Yeah, and the wife's like, well, why do they have so many children, love? And he's like, well, because they can't use a condom. And she said, what's a condom? And he says, oh, it's something you go down to the pharmacist and buy, and you put it on your John Thomas, and you can have sex without having children. We've never used one, and we've never needed to. We have two children, and we've had sex 2 times.
Okay,
and
good.
She's like,
I'm glad they're spreading around the humor then.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, you mean you could go get one right now? I'd like that very much. And he just keeps, because she's had sex 2 times in her life.
Right. She would like to have it one more time at least.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
We have 2 children and we've had sex 2 times. That's how it works. They've had sex 67 times and they have 67 children.
Yes. One bone equals one baby.
Yep. So I think we should play... at the end of this, or I don't know, how much more do you want to go? I got more we could talk about. Or do you
all
want?
All right. What else do you want to talk
I think we
about?
Should end with the FCC song, though.
Okay. We'll end with it. Because, that's kind of the theme of the episode, isn't it? It's F the FCC.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
Because it's episode 300 of us on the internet. Maybe it'll be our last. We'll never be on the radio again after this gets out.
No, we have the disclaimer, right? Those are bulletproof.
Yeah, that's going to legally protect us from an organization that doesn't follow laws and just writes stuff down on paper and says it's guidance.
Yes, this is a due process of writing ink on paper.
I mean, I want to take radio as far as we can, But I wouldn't mind being a martyr with radio. I wouldn't mind the FCC kicking us off radio and being the podcast that got kicked off radio for not doing anything illegal.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Would you? We can make that happen.
Did you see that? Did you see that article that the president's nuclear football, you know, that like briefcase that his,
the password is like 0000.
It was for the first 20 years. Yeah, okay. It was 0000000 for the first six presidents that had the nuclear football.
Oh, that's great.
That's like a grandpa password. That's like password. Yeah. You know, what's your Bitcoin password?
Password.
It's the default password that it came with.
Yeah. when Northrop Grumman. Yeah, that's what they set it with. And it probably had some like really old timey binary interface that would come up like an old timey screen, and it would say like in Nixie tubes, it would say, please reset password every time you'd open it up. You know?
And they never did it.
And they never did it.
Couldn't be bothered. Too busy eating their sandwich.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, when I got my gun safe, actually, I realized it's this lock called a simplex lock, which is actually pretty popular. And it's like the five.
That sounds like a disease, man. Herpes simplex.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Simplex lock. Yeah. Oh, it's like five actual physical buttons. Like they're not digital. They're mechanical buttons.
Yeah.
And you can press them in different combinations and you turn. And people actually use this on like gates and doors of like apartment buildings and complexes. And I remember when I delivered pizzas, there was one that was really common, and you press 2 and 3 at the same time, and then you press the middle one. No, you press 2 and 4 at the same time, and then the middle one. So it's 2, 4 at the same time, and then 3. And that would get you into half of the apartment complexes in downtown Austin. And I was like, oh, I wonder if the same company owns those buildings. And that's just, but when I got my gun safe, that's the default combination for simplex locks.
Oh, man.
That was how you got into my gun safe when you first get into it.
That's really
funny. They just never bothered to change the default password on all those apartment buildings.
People are stupid.
I guess so. Yeah. Of course, getting into an apartment building is a lot more innocuous than the nuclear, quote, football.
Yeah.
Do they still have that? Does the president still carry around guys that have a briefcase?
It's on his BlackBerry, man.
He's got an app for that.
And the password is probably Michelle.
Okay.
The password is probably, did you see that? It's probably W. They probably, his predecessor probably said it. W.
And he couldn't be bothered to do it either.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be W. It'd be like Dick Cheney is awesome or something like that.
Yeah.
Cheney rules.
Yeah. So Al Dove said that there should be a new crypto coin called THC that stands for Tranny Hooker Coin. Is he the same guy or was it someone else that posted on our Facebook that they wanted to start their own cryptocurrency backed by crocodile and tranny hookers?
I don't know. Could be him, or maybe that's just such a popular thing.
It was a meme someone made. It was a takeoff on that Bender thing. I'm going to start my own casino with, what was it, hookers and...
It was hookers and blow or black... Well, booze. I think it was booze and hookers. And he goes, matter of fact, forget the casino. Just need the booze and hookers.
Tranny hooker coin. A cryptocurrency backed with tranny hookers and crocodile. I like it.
There you go. That'd have some intrinsic value.
And see,
somebody called me to task for intrinsic value, and he was right. There's really no such thing because all value is subjective.
But there is a meme going around that I really like. I think it's that Batman thing with Batman slapping Robin and like, you know, don't say this again or whatever. And it's about people saying that Bitcoin is fiat currency because fiat commonly is believed to mean something that's backed by nothing, but it actually means something that's made by
faith.
No, it's something that's made by decree. I think that technically gold backed US dollars were fiat.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they be?
Because it's a decree?
Yeah.
I suppose. I mean, because how did that work? Didn't the government have to approve the price they would give you? Or, I mean, I don't know how it worked at the beginning, but I know when Nixon closed the, quote, gold window, or there was some kind of intermediary period where gold was set at the exchange rate, and it was like $35 per ounce of gold. You'd get $35, you know, American dollars. So I imagine any time the state has its hands on deciding what the money is, they can also manipulate its value. And so, yeah, it's still fiat because it's still by decree.
Yeah, I'm reading the Wikipedia entry on fiat currency, and there's actually three definitions, and they kind of conflict a little bit. It's any money declared by a government to be legal tender, or state-issued money which is neither convertible by law to any other thing nor fixed in value in terms of objective standard, or money without intrinsic value. And yeah, I mean, the word fiat means let it be done or it shall be in Latin, which to me really, I think it should be the money by decree definition. And
yeah, but intrinsic value kind of goes against all of the Austrian thought, though, doesn't it? Because I thought the whole point of where the economists have led us to is that all value is subjective. The value one person places on something is different than the value another person places on it. And that's the whole point of why people trade, is because I value that apple that you have more than I value the dollar that I have, and vice versa. So, I mean, even gold has subjective value. Some people probably like it more than others, and for different reasons. Loved gold, but he didn't love it to invest. He loved it to wear around his neck in a big rope chain.
Yeah. And I think I made a really good point the other day that's worth restating, that I don't think I really explained very well, was that for most of human agricultural history, if you were digging a well and hit oil, it was a bad thing.
Right. Right.
Because it meant your water table was oil, and you wouldn't be able to feed your family and your livestock, you know, give them water. You would die if you kept hitting oil in a field. And now,
and so it didn't have an intrinsic value, and it still doesn't. Its value is based on the subjective decision,
right?
That, hey, I can use this to power my car, and I value it.
Right. And now if a farmer or rancher is digging a water well and hits oil, you know, he sells or leases that part of the field to an oil company and makes a lot more money on it than he would having cattle on it or growing barley.
Right. You know? Right. Right. Yeah. And I think the reason why that intrinsic value concept is there is that traditionally the way money's come about is people, you know, it's some good that people use or some commodity that people use, and it's commonly traded, and it's more commonly traded than everything else, and it's widely needed and used. So it becomes and evolves into money. And that's kind of what happened.
Bitcoin is a whole new game. It's not – there really isn't
– right.
You know, it has
– it's a whole new game in a whole new world is another important
point. Exactly. Because there are a lot of whole new games in an old world. You know, there's always a new – business opportunity, and there's always a new scam, and there's always a new Ponzi scheme, and there's always a new investment, and sometimes they overlap, but they've all been in the old world. You know, the Internet 2.0 was kind of a new world. The Internet 1.0 was only a new world for nerds and early adopters. It wasn't really the commercial. When it kind of had commercial potential and it became more than just black text on a gray background with a low-res picture of a cat or a naked lady, Then it became Web 2.0, especially when it became editable by the user and shareable, and social media evolved.
Right. And it almost seems like I think that's another notch in the evidence for your thing about how there needs to be more people entering cryptocurrency, because when it gets wider adoption, more people will innovate. And maybe it's not Bitcoin that ends up saving the world. Maybe it's some other cryptocurrency. When there's cryptocurrency 2.0, I mean, my recent foray into dealing with Bitcoin, there was more of a learning curve. I mean, I guess there is with money too. I mean, they teach you in school what the different coins mean and all that. But I think the easier it gets, it'll get easier with more people entering the market and a wider adoption. So I think you're spot on with think of Bitcoin like the internet. And if it is right now, I think it is still Internet 1.0.
You know, I'm searching the term in quotes, Bitcoin is Web 3.0, because I'm like, that's pretty brilliant. I just invented that. And like, I didn't invent it, but only one other person has ever said it. There's five hits on it, and it's all the same guy on different forums and Twitter. It's Max Kaiser. No, it's Max Kaiser retweeting somebody saying it on a Bitcoin talk forum. Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay. There was another thing when Ben Stone was rebutting Gary North's attempted takedown of Bitcoin. You know, Gary North was complaining about how it's supposed to – money needs to increase the division of labor. And I think there's a vast opportunity for cryptocurrency to do that too, more so than any government currency. Because right now there's barriers to getting Federal Reserve notes, isn't there? I mean,
yeah,
you can trade in the black market and do this and that and work under the table, but you have to do that under the risk of the government guns being pointed at you, and maybe the trigger pulled.
Not only are they taxed at every turn and every transaction, but having too many of them in a weird denomination like is suspect. You know, people get their businesses seized for complying with insurance and putting in $10,000 at one time, or having, you know, all of the money for their Lions Club in their car on the way to the bank and having over 10 grand.
And if you take the position that all of that regulatory structure is a barrier to work and trade and exchange, and Bitcoin circumvents that, then don't you have to take the position that Bitcoin will increase the division of labor because there'll be less barriers to getting to exchanging goods for services or goods and services for Bitcoin?
You know what's pretty cool that I realized that I hadn't said before about Namecoin, about using Bitcoin type technology for domain, you know, decentralized domain servers. That there were two people who described that, and then someone later did it with Namecoin. But Aaron Schwartz was one of the first people to suggest that. That hacktivist that killed himself because he was facing 50 years in pound me in the ass federal prison for doing something that shouldn't be a crime. For basically going to the library online.
Right. Yeah. And how awful is that? I mean, maybe if he lived a few years – maybe if this had all happened a few years later than it actually happened, he would have been able to set some kind of fund anything with Bitcoin thing up and been able to flee the country and have an island near Greenland where he could just
spend
and use Bitcoins.
I think they realized how visionary that guy was and tried to take him out. You know, like – I think you can sit around and yell at the government all day long, but I think you get into danger of getting killed or arrested when you actually come up with something that could change something. Like, it's really smart. If Satoshi isn't the NSA, it's really smart that Satoshi never revealed his identity even now, you know? Because
definitely.
If he'd revealed it while he was trying to come up with it, they probably would have killed him.
Or
arrested him.
Well, before Martin Luther posted his rant on the church wall, there were dozens of people, or who knows how many, I guess nobody knows how many people, but there were people who had attempted to do similar things before and criticize things about the church that he complained about that everybody thought were ridiculous and corrupt. And the Pope would say, hey, send him over here. We'll have a nice chat with him. And then he would be ended. And
would
so,
they really send for him? Would the Pope really send for them and say, I want to talk to him? Or is that your
comedic? I think that that's – yes. No, that's what I've I think Dan Carlin said that in his Hardcore History. So I don't have a primary source, but this is third or fourth hand knowledge. But I think it's not beyond reason, right? I mean, the Pope was a powerful guy, and the church in a lot of places was sort of the authority. So they could say, hey, come to the Vatican. We'll have a nice chat.
Well, we're at the end of our time here, and I think this would be a really good place to play Eric Idle's FCC song and then say Worms.
All right, let's do it.
It's our episode 300, man. Fucking 300 episodes of the Freedom Fiends. How awesome is
that? Yes. Pigeon me if it's too loud or too quiet.
Okay. Here's a little number I wrote the other day while out duck hunting with a judge.
Quack.
Fuck you very much, the FCC. Fuck you very much for fining me. $5,000 a fuck, so I'm really out of luck. That's more than Heidi Fleiss was charging me. So fuck you very much, the FCC, for proving that free speech just isn't free. Clear Channel's a dear channel, so Howard Stern must go. Attorney General Ashcroft doesn't like strong words, and so he's charging twice as much as all the drugs for Rush Limbaugh. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, dear Mr. Bush, for heroically sitting on your tush. For Halliburton, Enron, all the companies who fail, let's send them a clear signal and stick Martha straight in jail. She's an uppity rich bitch, and at least she isn't male. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you, dickhead Mr. Cheney too. Fuck you and fuck everything you do. Your pacemaker must be a fake, you haven't got a heart. As far as I'm concerned, you're just a pasty-faced old fart. And as for Condoleezza, she's an intellectual tart. So fuck you all so very much. So fuck you very much, the EPA, for giving all Alaska's oil away. It really is a bummer when I can't fill my Hummer. The ozone's a no-go zone now that Arnold's here to say the nuclear winter games are going to take place in L.A. So fuck you all so very much. So what, the planet fails? Let's save the great white males. And fuck you all so very much.
Quack. Quack. Why does he say quack?
Because duck rhymes duck with fuck. He's duck hunting with a judge. Cheney shot somebody in the face while duck hunting. I just got that.
How could I forget?
You know, if Eric Idle had balls, he'd do the Obama update of that song. It needs it. Because it really comes off to me as like bashing Republicans. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny as shit. Yeah. But I'd like to hear if he were really honest. He'd
if you were really anti-establishment, not just anti the establishment, he doesn't happen to like, or he happens to not like.
I love Monty Python though, and those guys. I saw a documentary of them, it was awesome, where they said that like they started doing radio comedy on the BCC. He said back at you have to understand the BCC back then, people wore a suit to do radio news. Mm.
You mean the BBC, or do they have a different one for radio?
BBC. Yeah, BBC's BBC. Radio, too. Okay. Yeah. Like, on radio, you'd wear a suit, even though no one could see you.
Well, you had to show off for your colleagues.
Yeah.
And you might have guests or government officials coming by to check out the operation.
Members of Parliament. All right, man. Yes. It's been a good 300, and I hope we have 3,000 more, and some of them on radio.
Yes. Worms.
Go be with your pregnant wife, brother man.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, it's
worms.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.